between rage and serenity, you'll find GRD Sweekly.
No. What in the...
Yeehaw!
Come on, it's fun. Everybody should do it.
What is
GRD Sweekly?
Time for hee-haw? And you got really happy, too, at the very end of it. You started going into that voice. You're like, oh, can we do the voice? I can't wait. Oh, my God, I cannot wait to do the voice. Oh, Jesus. Alrighty, then.
I think I had to get out for Flinch was here, started bolting out laughing.
Just. Wow.
So, hi. We're picking and grinning, apparently.
Yeah.
And welcome to GRD Sweekly episode...
122.
Are you sure?
I wasn't here last week, but I did hear the show.
And?
That was 121.
Thoughts? No, I mean...
Oh, I'll talk about it more.
It's great, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, without that
dead weight
guy.
It was missing something, yeah.
So, hi, welcome. This is, of course, the fine folks at GeekRadioDaily.com. You know, those people that keep bringing you all that weird news and info stuff on Facebook and Twitter and at those fantastic forums. And we get together every now and again to do a show, sometimes weekly, hence this week. And who is it? Well, that there is the lady that just causes all kinds of drama. That's the Flinstress.
Was that your gift, putting up with that guy?
Oh, well, somebody had to.
It is a superpower.
Hey, that there is the Bruce.
I'm the juggernaut.
Okay, sure. You are far too full of yourself, sir. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
The next time you feel like showing off, don't.
I'm not sure that I can possibly make that happen. So, yes, you might notice a theme.
A theme?
A theme. And so we'll get to it as quick as we possibly can. Yo, what you been doing, Geeky?
Lots of stuff.
Good. Moving on.
Haha. I wrote down my list, and this is 2 weeks in a row that I've been writing down my list, so yay. We started off Wednesday evening watching Battle Royale.
Yeah.
You know, because I finally finished reading The Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. And so Battle Royale is a Japanese movie from 2000 that you saw at Starfest, but not for the first time, or was that the first time you had seen it?
That was the first time I had seen it,
Seen it at
I had
Starfest.
Heard about it, and I'd heard that I should see it.
Well, the kids in Japan are just getting totally crazily out of control, much like American kids now. But no, not too bad.
Yeah,
but
a couple years ahead of us.
Yeah, a couple years ahead. But no, I mean, they're unruly, they're disrespectful, they're not going to school, they're crazy. So they start picking one class at random and stranding them on this island, and they have to battle to the death.
To the death.
Sweet!
You've got 72 hours.
And if they don't all kill each other, then they all just get obliterated. They're wearing these neck collars.
That have explosives on them.
Okay.
And, you know, kind of like the movie The Condemned, but with kids. And,
yes.
Of course, you know, since there's teenagers, they're all like, I'm going to partner up with my boyfriend and like all of that kind of stuff. But it was a pretty good, it was a really good movie.
Yes, it's a fantastic film. And I just can't imagine
how
there's
the American
going to be... I understand it's its own story and everything. I get that The Hunger Games is its own story, but I just don't see an American movie on this topic being done.
They could make it gory or not gory, depending
PG-13.
On how they do it. Yeah, I'm just saying,
what?
It's not going to be gory.
They're going to make that movie PG-13.
And it's not even, it's not even the gore, because if you really look at The Hunger Games, sure, there's some blood in it, but I wouldn't say it's an overtly gory movie. It's just a really jacked up, in-your-face, dark and demented in places movie.
It can be, yeah.
And I just don't see an American franchise.
You mean Battle Royale, yeah.
Yes, I do. I don't see an American franchise doing that. And I don't care how cool the book might be and how close to it that gets. I'll put it this way. I am ready to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I mean, the book and the overall overarching story is more about revolution and a society that is, you know, there's a central government and they're putting everybody down and the people are revolting. And there's, you know, but it's part of it. But anyway, yeah, so I finished reading The Hunger Games and also the other two books in the series, Catching Fire and The Mockingjay.
Now, I also say that Battle Royale, the more you know about Japanese society, I think the more impactful it actually is, because there's a moment where all the kids are, you know, on this, and there's armed guards, you know, soldiers standing around, and you're like, what? And a helicopter lands, and then this dude, who was a former teacher of theirs, comes walking out in a tracksuit. And if you know anything about Japanese culture, the fact that in this big military thing, this guy comes strolling in a tracksuit, you know that this is a jacked up guy and weird things are about to happen.
Yeah. And so he's showing this other part. He's showing this instructional video for like how they do
the game.
Oh,
my God. It's so great.
And yeah. And she's just totally like, yeah, and here's what you do next. And it's just really funny, like over the top.
So,
right.
So she was like happy about it. Like,
right.
Hey,
and while she's talking, she says,
Japanese vision of you know, that.
And she does the hello, and he's like the hello, and tries to get the entire class to be all bright and happy and talk back to the thing.
About they're going to kill each other.
It's real.
But he did say don't talk during the film.
He did.
So when one girl turns and whispers to her classmates, boom.
Oh, good. Please. Could that actually happen?
So he said no talking.
You have now been educated and know something that quite a few other people don't know, even though they use the phrase regularly.
So there you go.
Yeah. That's when you know exactly what you're in for, that nothing is off limits and that just happened. So yeah, I finished reading those books and they were really good and borrowed them from my school library, you know, which Flynn was like, I can't believe those books are in your library.
Well, Scholastic, and that's another thing that it just makes me go, I don't know, I don't have high hopes for the movie because it's in a young adult library, which can be cool, but it's got that Scholastic Mark book thing on it.
Okay.
And, again, okay.
We'll see.
So, moving on.
Well, I thought it was good.
Well, you know, it might be. I'm not saying that the books are not. I'm just saying I don't know that the movie is going to have... The movie is not going to have the intensity of Battle Royale, and I doubt seriously it has the intensity that the book itself has, even though I haven't read it.
Okay. Well, next on my list, we watched Top Chef, and usually we don't really talk about it that much because it's not all that geeky.
Except
this week it was the science fair episode. So they partnered the chef testants with scientists.
Like chef testants? I thought that was a real word.
I like that.
I'm pretty sure they do call them that.
Really?
But yeah, okay. I've heard that somewhere. And they partnered them with real scientists, like doctors and, you know, masters in biology and all these types of things.
John Smar and
Sheldon Cooper.
Yeah,
you know?
Sheldon Cooper. Yeah.
I'm sure they would have loved this.
They would have loved this. And so they had different scientific principles that they had to demonstrate through some kind of food, like elasticity or viscosity or...
And you had to not only demonstrate this, but you had to make a food, of course, that represented this scientific concept.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
It was really interesting. And then the chefs actually had to explain it to a group of high school kids that were coming to the science fair.
So it wasn't just about the taste. It was about...
Yeah, you had to actually do the demonstration and everything as well.
And your food had to be related to the concept as well. And they had to serve all their foods in little petri dishes.
That's kind of cool.
So
that was fun. That was definitely a geeky Top Chef.
Good times.
Of course, the biggest thing ever was Doctor Who.
Okay. I've seen the last American premiered episode.
Wait.
Not the last one that came on. Not the last one for the midseason.
No one's seen the last one for the midseason.
Okay.
When it's on BBC America, you're watching it like hours after it's premiered.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't know if they stopped for a week.
You know who River Song is?
No.
How do you not know who River Song is?
Oh, so you are missing an episode.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm missing one episode.
How? That's weird. BBC America, if that's where you're watching it on?
Yes. Yeah.
BBC America shows the newest episode. Like,
I don't...
the day, like this on the Saturday?
Yeah.
That's the episode that was
on
England.
What happened in the last episode that you saw?
At the end of the episode, Amy Pond, they find out that she actually is pregnant.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're an episode behind.
I don't know.
Oh my God! You've got your. Do you have a season pass set up? You have a DVR thing going on here.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Then guess what? You are not recording the new episodes.
I'm actually
recording the rerun.
I'm actually recording every episode of Doctor Who that comes on.
Then you should have it because they show it like seven times on Saturday night. They show that one. They show the one before it. They show that one again. The one before it. That one again.
I looked, but I couldn't find the.
Wow.
We may be able to help you out with that.
Yeah, we might be able to help.
All right,
you
no problem. I'll just check it out.
Oh my God! Because you learn who River Song is.
Huge revelation, like earth-shattering revelation. So we're just going to kind of skip that, but that was phenomenal, and it was a great. Yeah. Episode and lots of kind of returning faces that we see.
That's a fair way to say that.
And you know, definitely, yeah. Fool me once, fool me twice. Yeah, definitely.
You've got to get caught up because the next episode they tease us. The title, is called "Let's Kill Hitler." So you got to hurry up and get caught. Oh my God.
Okay.
We're talking about who River Song is in the forums at geekradiodaily.com. And a lot
I'll wait.
Go there. We're having the discussion. Meantime, I guess we'll wait till Bruce gets caught up.
Well, that's what they have
in my
DVR.
Someone's far behind.
Thanks a lot, Bruce.
I'm a week behind versus a season behind. All right.
I'm going to make a note to talk about it again.
Okay,
Doctor Who next week.
Doctor what?
What? We watched a pretty bad movie that we got in from Netflix.
You too, huh?
Jonah Hex.
Okay, I want it stated for the record that I did not put Jonah Hex on our list. I had no interest in ever watching Jonah Hex.
Okay.
Yes, tell us about it.
Well, I mean, I don't have the basics
what's the bottom of that bus look
of
like?
The comic book or whatever, but I just thought, you know, that we should see it and that maybe it wasn't as bad as everybody says it was and, you know, whatever. Maybe it was only bad to the diehard fans of the comic and maybe it wouldn't just be a bad movie in and of itself.
I wouldn't call myself a diehard Jonah Hex fan, but I know enough about, even if I didn't know anything about Jonah Hex, this is not a good movie. This is a sloppy movie. It's an hour and 12 minutes long?
It's, oh my God. Yeah, it's just bad.
And you can totally feel that.
There's a lot of people in this movie, and I don't know how they got them.
Will Arnett is in this movie.
Yeah.
Not playing a comedic role.
John Malkovich is in this movie?
Yes, I've seen parts of this movie.
What's his face? Who plays the president? Adrian Quinn is in this movie.
Adrian Quinn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Michael Fassbender is in this movie. who recently played Magneto in X-Men First Class, is in this movie. Uh-huh. There are a lot of people in this movie. Oh, yeah, well, of course, Megan Fox is in this movie.
Yeah, I know. Then,
yeah,
have you ever seen this?
Yeah, I have seen parts of this movie because we showed it at the gym, so every once in a while I'd get to go in there.
What do you know about Jonah Hex?
I know Jonah Hex can't bring anybody back from the
dead. Thank you. Thank you. He's like, well, I'm going to go talk to this dead guy. And I'm like, what? And she's like, what? And I'm like, hold on. And then he does this, and I'm like, I can't effing believe that. She's like, what?
How do you get away with making a movie and adding a huge thing like that that's not a part of the character?
I tell
like,
him,
how do you do that?
He doesn't have supernatural powers. She's like, well, how does he normally do this? And I'm like, he doesn't. He doesn't talk to dead people. Like, they just added that, and I'm like, yep. Yeah, unless in the past year and a half they've done something to Jonah Hex I don't know about.
Wow.
And you can tell the hour and 12 minute whatever runtime because
there wasn't enough development for the plot.
No,
a couple of jumps in there.
Yeah,
it really feels like right around the middle, about the 30-40 minute mark, all of a sudden things just start happening really quickly for no reason, and
you never get enough. Of why the bad guy is, John.
Why is John Malkovich doing what he's doing?
Why is he trying to destroy the entire nation? Why is he going after civilian targets over military targets in particular? Yeah, he's kind of messed up in the head and his family got killed and, whatever. But there was never any good reason for him to be that way.
And there was never any good reason to try to turn this into The Crow. There just wasn't. It wasn't a reason to do that whatsoever.
Right, in these weird dream sequences or whatever. I don't know. It was just bad. So to cleanse the palate from Jonah Hex, we watched a couple of DC animated shorts, including
the Jonah Hex animated short.
Which is a lot better than the movie.
Tons better. Tons. I like that Thomas Jane did the voice. That's cool.
Yeah. And when he just leaves her down there in that hole, that's just like,
oh, yeah,
okay.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And I was like, And then as I said, for a Jonah Hex comic, that's probably one of the more lighthearted ones. So, yeah. But, yeah, they went there in the cartoon.
Well, it's interesting to consider the concept of a hero, but that's not really a hero.
The anti-hero.
I would need to call him the non-hero.
Well, he has his own moral code.
Yes, he does.
Very much so. If somebody has done wrong, they deserve to be punished. But it's just kind of, you started it. But it's definitely outside of what would normally be, considered a hero, a good guy, even a Avenger for justice or anything like that.
True.
So, also, one on there was similarly, revenge-based, The Spectre.
I remember seeing that as well.
I love that one.
That was good.
Blows my mind. I love the whole grindhouse effect, the way it looks like 70s film stock, even though it's animated.
Almost sepia, but not really.
There's moments where it like sort of washes out and stuff, and the whole almost porn soundtrack, it's just really cool.
Yeah, that was pretty well done. But same kind of thing, I'm just sort of taken aback when he, kills the bad guys. And it's just kind of like, okay, not everybody is Batman and Superman, really, when it comes to it.
Well, see, they don't really delve into it there, but the Spectre is the avenging angel for God in the DC universe. So, yeah, some jacked up things happen with the Spectre.
Yeah, they never did say anything about that.
It's you kind of have to know that one to know that one.
But still.
Because he's not top tier. He's third tier superhero for DC. Mm-hmm.
And on a lighthearted note, they also had a Green Arrow one in that collection
fun.
Which was really good, too.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It's weird to now try to, it's like, oh, so I don't know what happened to Chloe. Poor Chloe.
Right. Forget Smallville. But, I'd like to see what Justin Hartley looked like with a mustache. I don't know.
With the whole little beard.
Yeah, with
beard.
The mustache and the beard and the whole,
The Van Dyke, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And just that. And only that. Sorry.
And the right arrow.
And then also on that collection, there was a 30-minute, Superman and Shazam. Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know that DC basically stole that craziness.
She says at one point, oh, what's with the half cape? Can't look too much like Superman, huh? And I waited until after to explain how Fawcett Comics was sued by DC because Captain Marvel was too close to Superman. They went bankrupt, and then in the 70s, DC bought the rights. Yeah, that's
the little shady shit right there.
Half cape.
That is what we call a dick move.
Little half cape over the shoulder.
I know. I was like, why does he only have one cape?
Got the pip cape on.
That was pretty crazy.
that was good.
So we watched Game of Thrones. How much detail are we gonna go into this situation of what happened with Verizon? Are we gonna talk about that at all? Or
we will say this: that I will throw this to my geeky week. I have talked to DirecTV, and I have done some rejiggering. I believe is the scientific term. And we now pay $5 a month less for our DirecTV bill, but now have HBO. That's right. I have more programming and pay less.
Excellent.
You can do this too, kids. Just call them. Because, by the way, if you're not on DirecTV's auto bill payment thing, you're paying $10 more a month for HD. If you do the auto bill payment, or convince them that it's not possible since you're bundled with another company and it will never show on their records, you can get $10 a month knocked off your bill. You can. Call them. I did it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, now we have HBO. So now we can start watching Game of Thrones.
You know, here at our place start and not watching it at,
special antennas.
At other people's houses.
Yeah.
At other people's houses.
I guess we'll talk about that later. But yeah, so
I ain't talking about it.
Game of Thrones is good, and this was one called The Pointy End. So it was a lot of dying by sword.
Oh, okay.
And
you get to see one really cool guy with a wooden sword take down three armed guards with real swords.
Yeah.
Who talk smack to him, and he's like, "Look, you should just back the hell off." And he just embarrasses them with a wooden sword.
He whipped out the can of whoop-ass.
Dude, good stuff. And like every one of these episodes, it ends, and I'm just like, yep, can't wait for the next one. Because at some point, we're going to get past the vague recollection of stuff that I remember from the book that I read. So.
Now, somewhere around season two or three.
I will give you the information to put in the show notes because I don't have it in front of me. But P.G. Holyfield, Viv, Chooch, and Nutty Nunchus are doing a Game of Thrones podcast. Some podcasters that we know are in the midst of a Game of Thrones podcast. So if you're interested in the show and our little, you know, couple minutes of talking about it isn't enough for you, you should find their podcast. And like I said, I'll give you the information to put in the show notes. Game of Thrones, check.
Okay.
So since we watched HBO, we downloaded like a bunch of, not downloaded, but like on our DVR have a bunch of movies. And today we watched Get Him to the Greek.
Ah, Jonah Hill and Russell Brand.
Yes, the not so much sequel, but side thing.
Yeah,
for
like
getting
a spinoff.
Sarah Marshall.
Mm-hmm. But she's in it in a little cameo, which is cute. And like everybody is in this. I thought that that Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Sean Combs, whatever, I thought he was pretty funny in a couple of moments here. He overdid it a little bit. You know, he's definitely not a good actor, but there were definitely some moments that I laughed at this movie.
It's a fun little time. You should definitely see it. It's almost a really good movie, and I don't know what I could have changed. There's something about the overall character development of Russell Brand that I think could have been elevated to something a little more while keeping it in this toilet-based humor thing that it kind of is.
Yeah.
But no, it's a good time.
His music, his songs are really funny. Like his hit The Clap, and they're all explicit lyrics, you know.
Bangers, Beans, and Mash.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, Jason Segel came back and helped write some of the songs.
Yeah, so it was pretty funny. Cool. But I don't know that I'll ever need to see it again. Too much throw up. I don't like throw up. There was definitely, I mean, they're partying a lot, so there was just
so
too much throw up.
A little regurgitation.
Wouldn't mind one spin on the Jeffrey. Just one.
On the fuzzy walls.
On the fuzzy walls. I'm
going to get my whole house in this.
That's
my house going to look like a werewolf.
It's be one of those movies that, you know, you might want to watch under the influence of something, but you might not because it might be too much. I don't know. I don't know.
Might make you freak out. Yeah. You might think you're having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack. Oh, and
I'll stab you in the heart with this adrenaline.
You know, Chief O'Brien. Chief O'Brien is Russell Brand's father. So that's kind of cool. So
okay.
Yeah, lots good of little times. Fun cameos.
Cool, meanie, good for you, man. You're awesome.
Workaholics, our show on Comedy Central, was particularly geeky this time around because they had formed a Wizards rap group to perform at the local Renaissance Festival.
Oh, God.
Hilarious.
But, of course, the drama came when one of the guys started working out a little more and an older lady saw this and, well, they started hooking up.
Or
some version of hooking up. Let's just say he practices Chindo, and that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, but them doing their wizard rap was the highlight.
Oh, fantastically.
Fantastically, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
And then also today, we played around a little bit with the Kinect Fun Labs. There's a couple of new little, it's not really like a game, but it's on the Xbox, and you can download it, and you can do, the camera from the Kinect can take your picture and then do different things with your picture. You can make an avatar that actually is based more on your picture.
It's a little more closer, photorealistic to you.
Okay. All right.
You can also, you can make yourself a bobblehead. You can.
Can you pat yourself on the head and the head thing goes boop, 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 boop,
yeah.
Boop. Oh, cool.
Yeah. You can take any object and hold it up to the camera and put googly eyes on it and then act out a scene with it with googly eyes. I did Master Chief's helmet and a stuffed dog and put googly eyes.
A stuffed Porthos from Enterprise.
And put that on there and did a, what was the other one? There was one other one.
Oh, it was about.
Pornographic?
No, it was making a buddy thing. I don't remember because we didn't do that one.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Ow. That's right. I downloaded
punch
it.
Punch that
and
thing.
Play,
yeah.
So that was okay. I mean, Kinect, I don't know, as bright as we had it in there, it still doesn't see all that well. And I don't know, I think maybe when it's dark, but then it's bright in the room, it'll actually be brighter.
There was a shadow on one half of her face, so her little avatar thing was kind of emo. So yeah, it was like one half like whitish and one half darkish of her face.
So it was like the Star Trek characters when they're white on one side,
exactly.
Black on the other.
You know, I was looking
David
for
Boreanaz
Frank Borshin.
From Angel, who's always in the shadows.
Yes, I'm in the shadows.
In the shadows.
Because if I turn this way and stay half in a shadow, I look more handsome than I actually am. Then again, who doesn't?
Yeah. Well, there was also a lot of... also a lot of roller derby in my life
hanging out
this past weekend. And so that kind of got in the way of doing more geeky stuff. But I didn't skate. We played against the Dominion, the team from Virginia Beach. And we actually played the Carolina Roller Girls, which were one of the best teams in the whole East Coast. And they totally demolished us. But we put up a decent number of... We scored more points on them than the DC team did.
Yes, but you also gave up more points than the DC team did.
That's true.
So they still whipped your ass more.
Yes.
Still.
Gotta focus on the positives, Billy Flynn. Positives.
I'm going to be very polite not talk about that match anymore.
Okay. Yeah. So that has been my geekiest week.
Really? Huh. Okay.
I totally forgot something.
She loves stuff.
I'm
for
trying.
You.
I thought you were writing
I'm
it down.
I'm trying to write it down. I must have missed something. I left something for you.
We didn't write. Well, I didn't write. See, you've been writing it down. So stuff that we do, I haven't been putting in here.
Oh.
So now I have to. That's awesome.
I'm trying.
Because there's a movie we saw. I'm pretty sure there was another movie we watched, but that's okay.
Well, the movie we went to the movie theater.
Nope, not what I'm talking about. So.
Oh, I forgot.
So did I, because I'm trying to think of what it is now. So, yeah, the...
Okay. I'd like to thank both of you for not completely roasting me last week when I wasn't on the show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I had a really bad allergy attack, and I had no voice whatsoever. That and the full body aches. I really couldn't do the show.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm feeling a whole heck of a lot better now, thank
Yay.
God. It was just that I was like... It felt like I was gargling on sandpaper. It was just bad.
Why would anyone do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone told you should not do that.
Well, speaking of sandpaper, that's a really... Bad segue, but
yep, awful.
I have 95% completed Mjolnir, Thor's hammer.
Woohoo!
The only thing I need for this is the straps for the handle
to put on there. So you need a strap on.
Yeah. Yes.
Nice.
Exactly.
Awesome.
That's where your brain went. Leather strap ons. Good job.
No, I didn't say anything like.
Oh, yes, sure you didn't.
And you also need the logo on the side, or the.
No,
you know.
Actually, I don't want to.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to.
See, they did that for the movie.
Oh.
He really just has like a big stone hammer.
Yeah.
In the comic.
It does look really cool.
This looks like a piece of granite chiseled out to look like Thor's hammer.
I could take it for granted.
Thank you. Oh, where's the rim shot there?
But I'm.
I think that's much more appropriate.
Better, yeah. a few weeks ago, Billy, you were talking about the motion comics that were on Netflix.
Yes.
I finished watching X-Men.
Huh? Huh?
That was really good.
It's, you know, it is the comic.
Yes.
And the voice acting, I think, is quite well done.
And for being a motion comic, there is a lot of bit of animation to it. I mean, it's not just... It's a lot better than it was in the 60s, I'll tell you right now. But it's...
Jane Foster, I am here for you. Yeah. It's nothing like that.
Spider-Woman, check that one out as well.
I do need to see that one.
That one, not as good as the X-Men one.
Well,
it's not bad. It's worth watching, but it's not as good as the X-Men one.
Okay.
And I just started watching The Iron Man Extremis.
Okay. Haven't watched that one either. I've only watched the Astonishing X-Men.
Yeah. That's fine. We'll see about that one. Saw Time Bandits again.
Nice. Good
no.
Times. What do you mean no?
Oh, my God. That movie was horrible.
No.
When's the last time you saw it?
Like 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
And you still liked it?
Yes, of course I do.
Oh, that movie was horrible.
Oh,
I remember liking that.
Mm.
I remember really, really liking that film when I was a kid. And then I saw it again yesterday. And... Wow, this was horrible.
See, no.
Oh, man, I give this like 4.5 pants.
I will give you that it's uneven and that some parts do go on a little longer than others, but this
moguls
is like...
Moguls are uneven.
This is Terry Gilliam's third film. And for a look at childhood and stuff, no, this is... I truly enjoy Time Bandits.
Time
Bandits.
I did not like this film at all.
It's no Fisher King, but by God do I love some Time Bandits.
I've been playing a lot of You Don't Know Jack with the family.
Nice.
Yeah. I actually have to stop playing every once in a while so they can win one.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Snap.
We could beat you.
You know
Upside
what?
Your head.
You could try, and maybe you can, but still, I'm better than anybody else in my family.
And humble.
And humble. Well, you know. It's
no, I don't.
It's hard to be humble when
you're
as good
as I am.
Most
people's family are probably not that good of competition. You know, like, I mean, I think I'm probably the best out of everyone in my family. But not that they've ever played, but you know what I mean? Like, is your family, like, pretty good competition?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well,
they actually do know.
They do. Yeah.
Lowercase Jack. They know lowercase Jack, and you know Captain Jack. You know Captain Jack.
No, actually, I don't think.
Well, that would be a good Torchwood game. You know Captain. You don't know Captain. Jack.
You don't know Captain Jack.
Actually, I haven't seen Torchwood yet. So
see, I told you.
When it comes back,
so you don't know.
No, I don't know. Craig Ferguson's comedy special.
Okay.
Does this need to be said?
That it's hysterically funny because it's Craig Ferguson?
Yeah, yes, it is, but that's the title. But does this need to be said?
Oh,
it's actually
sorry,
streaming
right.
on Netflix.
Yeah, that is the title. I've forgotten that.
This is laugh out loud funny. This is absolutely. There's no bleeped out, ooh la la. Nothing like that. He actually gets to blurt out some cuss words and makes jokes about the fact that he can blurt out cuss words on his comedy special.
Awesome.
So, check it out. Definitely saw the latest U.S. episode. Well, apparently I didn't see the latest U.S. episode of Doctor Who.
No, you did not.
Killer Robots, the Robo Games 2011 that happens in San Francisco.
Okay.
Was hosted by Grant from Mythbusters. Grant does have a last name. It's Imahara. But the people who did this show didn't.
Oh, wow.
Every time.
Hey, look, it's Mythbusters Grant.
It's Grant from Mythbusters, not Grant Imahara. Grant from MythBusters.
I have my own identity.
I have a last name. It's on my driver's license. It was a really cool. They kind of edited things down, but they showed like three full rounds, like a 16-round competition.
Okay.
And it was really, really fun to watch because I miss BattleBots. And this was BattleBots without the cool extra things in the ring.
If only everyone hadn't decided, let's all go with a wedge design, I think BattleBots might have lasted because we liked seeing the different types of robots. And then once everyone figured out, a wedge, haha.
Yeah, everybody started doing the same.
Yeah, there's going to be, a most efficient design, you'd think.
But surprisingly enough, the two teams that were in the finals, neither one was a wedge.
Haha.
One actually had a flamethrower on it.
Nice.
So it was really good. Avengers, the Earth's Mightiest Heroes, come back with new episodes, I've been watching those. Ultimate Fighter ended their latest season 13, whatever the heck it was. And The Voice, the TV competition, I watched that. So,
singing show.
Yeah. Good times had it fall out. There was the goth prom.
Hello.
And
we're at the prom.
it's kind of interesting watching goth people dress up in goth.
It's Tim Burton's wet dream. Yeah,
kind of is. Because I got a couple pictures on not my Facebook
Welcome
account.
Welcome to Burtonville.
We need to do that at Fallout. We need to do a Tim Burtonville.
Okay. I thought you just did. It was goth prom.
It could be the same, but not quite the same.
How many people do you really need dressed as Jack Skellington? I love the character of Jack Skellington, but
actually,
dear
God. None of them were dressed.
No, but if you did a Tim Burton
Burtonville
thing.
Yeah.
All the guys are going to show up.
No,
what
actually,
about Edward Scissorhands.
They'll do a couple Edward Scissorhands. There'll be a couple of Lydias from Beetlejuice.
A lot of Jack Skellington.
That'd be maybe one or two.
The decorations will be primarily Jack Skellington.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they do.
Hot Topic still exists because of Jack Skellington.
This is true. This
better
is
than Bieber. That's FYE.
Oh God, FYE has a Bieber section with the Bieber merchandise and the nameplate above it says Justin Bieber because it's to let you know it's the Justin Bieber
section. So just in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
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 But they did have some good Green Lantern stuff.
They did. Oh my God, I am going to go Green Lantern merchandise to buy because many years ago we went to Six Flags and I looked and all I could get was a pencil and a straw. That was Green Lantern. That was it. That was it.
Was it a Betty straw for the little extra fizz?
Nope.
No, but it did curve a little bit.
It was a curvy straw,
It wasn't a crazy straw, but it was a curvy straw. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's stuff now. And I'm like, woohoo. Yeah. They do have a really cool, it's a snow globe of the lantern from the movie.
Uh-huh.
So it's the power battery from the movie with, a ring floating around inside. It's kind of cool. That's kind of cool, but okay.
Everybody's got merchandise and stuff.
Exactly.
So other than I have started doing, since I'm feeling better and I'm not hurting, my back's not hurting as much as it has been. I have been going back to the gym and doing cardiovascular training because it's 3 months to Dragon Con.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I've got to get ready for that. So other than doing all that, working out and trying to enjoy my family a little bit, that's pretty much been my geeky week.
Let's see. So Turner Classic Movies has decided to be kind of cool. Over the last couple of last week, there's been a couple nights where they've just decided to show some interesting films.
versus...
I, Well,
boring films?
No. Instead of like, you know, classics, true classics, classics of another sense, like they showed Godzilla King of the Monsters, the American version with Raymond Burr.
Oh.
And it happened to be on, and I was like, okay, so I'll go ahead and watch it. And wow, yeah. Kids, really, go out and find the original Gojira sometime. It's fun. It's a fun movie, and I appreciate Raymond Burr and everything they did to actually get Godzilla here in America, but go find Gojira, because it's a much more powerful film.
Gojira!
Then they showed, like,
Cookie Monster.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. Here's a moment that I have to take a moment to where I can be a little smug. Because Robert Osborne...
You?
No.
Robert Osborne hosts the movies, you know, on Turner Classic Movies. So he gave some incorrect information about Godzilla. When the movie goes you know, is off, he comes back and he talks about it. And he says, and Godzilla, the movie's so popular. But in subsequent Godzilla films, they changed it. And he became the hero fighting monsters that were more dangerous for Tokyo. Yes, you know what? That is true. After two sequels of him still being a bad guy, he was a villain up until Godzilla vs. Mothra. After Godzilla vs. Mothra is when they turned him into the dancing, drop-kicking, weird, you know, superhero Godzilla. So you were wrong, Robert Osborne.
So it wasn't a Power Ranger before then.
No. They also showed Godzilla vs. Monster Zero, where, you have Ghidra the Three-Headed Monster, or Ghidorah, depending on how you like to pronounce it, showed up, so that was cool. And then on a different night, for no particular reason, they had some fun stuff like Grizzly. The 1970-ish something movie Grizzly, this is one of the better Jaws ripoffs ever, because they took Jaws and made it about a bear on a mountain.
Can the bear swim?
No. Oh, so it's not swimming, but it's the same kind of thing where it's like done POV, you know, for the bear. You've got the sheriff.
We're going to need a bigger picnic basket.
And nobody wants to believe him. And of course, they bring in a bear expert, and the mayor doesn't want to close the mountain because of the tourist money and stuff. And then they throw in some kind of weird stuff about maybe he's like a Native American bear warrior spirit. It's an awful movie, but but Grizzly. So there you go. And immediately after Grizzly, they showed Night of the Lepus.
What?
Yes, you remember Night of the Lepus, don't you?
Don't.
You've never seen Night of the Lepus?
No.
Oh, Night of the Lepus is fantastic because it's about giant killer rabbits. Giant killer rabbits, which are brought to life in this movie by making miniature sets and having real-sized rabbits. And of course, when they come stampeding, it's done in slow motion, and you've got drums. It's thundering. And playing the doctor, I believe he is playing the doctor, it's DeForest Kelly is in the movie. So,
oh my God.
Getting to see Bones at some point go up against giant rabbits. Night of the Lepus, yeah, you really should, because it's...
Oh, I've got to see this.
It's a good time.
Does it look as bad as in Team America when they use the cat to be a puma?
Well, because that's like a little kitty. I mean, these are like adult-sized, these are like full-sized rabbits.
Okay.
That are, you know, put on miniature sets.
And you're herding rabbits.
So
awesome.
Somebody actually had to be the rabbit herder on that set.
And of course, you know, you do have the moments where the paws come out and slash people, which is done by like the fakest prop paw you've ever seen.
You can still see the handle.
Kinda. You really kinda can. I'm now over...
We need to sweep this film.
I have decided I'm going to stop just watching an episode here or there, and I've been doing like a little marathon of Reaper, because I'm over halfway into all the episodes that there are, and I just want to go ahead and see what happened. And oh my God, to go back to a show we just did about shows that were gone too soon.
Yeah.
Man, was this a fun show. Kevin Smith was the consultant. He directed the first episode.
Yeah.
He talked about the problems he had with the studio people, blah, blah, blah. And how he doesn't really want to, you know, and this and after Cop Out, he's like, I don't really want to direct anybody else's stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to, keep in mind, I'm not saying that it is.
Cop Out was fun.
I did enjoy Cop Out. It was fun. The thing I love about Reaper, because Ray Wise steals the whole thing, is the devil. He's got to be one of the greatest portrayals of the devil that's just ever been put anywhere. Much better than what George Burns did in Oh God, You Devil. But moving on.
Hey, blasphemy.
Dude, Ray Wise is charming.
Oh yes, he is. I will give you that, but come on, don't be dissing George
I'm not
Burns
dissing
now.
Him, but okay. I liked his God better than I liked his devil.
Yeah, but his devil was fun.
It sort of reminds me, and it's not as good as Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett, it is not, but it sort of reminds me of Good Omens, the book that Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett wrote together about the apocalypse. It's got that kind of... winking nod to the whole concept and practicality of it's fun. I enjoyed it. So because I was up late doing some schoolwork and HBO was on, it started showing Tales from the Crypt Presents Bordello of Blood. You might remember this as the
Dennis
really
Miller?
Not good Tales from the Crypt movie they did. They did one good one. That was Demon Knight. But yes, this one was with Dennis Miller. And poor Dennis Miller. I don't know how Dennis Miller got involved in this. But when Dennis Miller's cracking Dennis Miller jokes, it's entertaining. And Corey Feld, the Coreys are in it. So, you know, you got to give it some credit for that. But it's just, it's not scary and it's not really that funny. But there
it's
got to
be one or the other. It's got to be either scary or funny.
There's a lot of boobs. So I guess you got that going for you. So
I've been watching Spartacus as well.
Spartacus.
Because it's on the Spartacus Blood and Sand.
Right, right.
Yeah. A lot of boobs, a lot of fake blood, like more than the whole human body could hold. But yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, it's somebody slashes somebody and a wave comes out. It's nice. Really bad.
Barry over at Screen Geeks was not feeling well. Get better, Barry. So I got the emergency call to be on Screen Geeks. So their episode has probably already dropped. And if you listen to that first before you listen to this one, well, then I'm kind of sorry because we're both kind of doing the exact same topic.
How could that be?
The exact same topic. But you should go check it out, and I will be giving some shout-outs of some stuff they said that I'm particularly putting into our episode
this evening.
In other words,
you're stealing, but you're giving them credit.
Well, I looked at it as a dry run for our episode.
Exactly.
Get all my bad stuff out there and do it really well
here.
And be
more professional.
It's not stealing if you cite your sources.
Exactly. There you go.
Well, plagiarizing, maybe.
No.
Still not plagiarizing.
No,
he's referencing.
I am referencing.
That's it. You're referencing.
Yes. So I set up my new external...
You're sampling.
I set up my new external sound card, which worked really well, because that way I was able to use the board and use this microphone to talk to them over Skype.
Yeah.
Nice. That means, well, here's what that means. That means we could have all three, we could have four mics hooked up to this board, and with one instance of Skype open, talk to people, all of us.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yes, it would. Oh, it really, really would. So, so that means nothing to you, but cool.
Yeah.
Well, anybody who's ever wanted to be a guest on our show,
it's the sound
can now be a guest on the show.
That, and we do have a conference call number, so we can do that as well. So talk to if you'd like to talk to us, but you've always been hampered by the whatever reasons.
Technology.
We've got ways around that. We have both the old school phone stuff, and we've got this new interwebs. So coolness. Let's see. Some E3 stuff happened.
Yes.
So very quickly, let's talk about the Sony Vita, the new handheld PlayStation thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I'm not going to be the one that laughs at you. Okay, I kind of am. But Sony guy was so proud, he walks up there, you know, Vita, whatever, means life.
Yes.
Ooh, okay, whatever. And look at this. Oh, cool. Well, here's the thing. You're going to have a data plan for your portable gaming system.
Yeah, exactly, because you have to do it through AT&T.
And he was so proud when he said it was on the AT&T network, and people in the audience started laughing. They started laughing at him because if you don't know this, and I'm sorry if you are on AT&T, I can't help this, but the AT&T cellular network sucks.
Yes.
It just does.
And if you think getting calls on there are bad, try the data plan.
And oh my God, what? I mean, I can't take, what if I don't want a data plan? What if I just want to have a game and just play it? Oh, no, you're going to, shut the hell up. The PSP Go didn't work specifically because you wanted me to download everything and pay for it and that concept. I don't see this working.
No.
And I'm wondering, Sony, are you about to take a fall? I'm just wondering.
Well, I mean, they're doing so ever so well with the PlayStation Network.
Can we say Betamax?
Ooh. Can we say High 8, Digital 8, Super 8?
They did get us with Blu-ray.
The links?
Well, and what did they do? They spent all their money trying to make exclusives and lock things down. If I owned a movie studio and partnered with other movie companies for my new home video thing that I can build into my gaming system...
Yeah, how is that not like collusion? I don't know.
I can't understand how it's not. Oh, because the market spoke. No, they didn't. People bought it because they wanted the new Gran Turismo, which where the hell is that anyway? So Xbox didn't really have anything interesting to show. They're talking about how you can stream TV and stuff through it.
Yeah, that's nothing really new. They got a couple of games coming out that are going to be interesting.
Okay, so...
Halo 4.
Halo 4. Not done by Bungie,
Yeah, 343 Studios or something like that?
Cautious.
Yeah.
Cautious. But the HD redo of the original Halo, which means that we can play online.
Multiplayer.
Of course I'm going to buy that. Of course I am. Of course I am.
That's what got me the Xbox originally, because I had a friend's house playing Halo, and I looked, took the Master Chief character and looked down and saw the grass swaying. And I was like, I got to get one. That's it. You got me right there.
I have obviously had Halo the moment it came out. That kind of did sway me over to... we did go to an Xbox presentation thing at a Dave & Buster's, work-related for Circuit City back in the day, so that was kind of cool. But that was... And Halo won me over there's this one part, and I'll never forget it. You're going across that stupid little bridge. When you're going across that narrow bridge, and there's mm-hmm. all the suicide monkeys and stuff coming at
you. Yeah.
And I turn a corner, and you see this guy. I'm like, ah. So I chuck a grenade, and I back up, mm-hmm. and boom. And I walk around the corner, and there's all these dead monkeys. And then, on the side of the bridge, one of the bigger ones pulls himself up because he was holding onto the side. Uh-huh. He jumped over the side of the bridge and held on to keep from dying from the grenade. And at that moment, I was like, oh.
I love this game.
We are at a new level, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
They showed some stuff for Kinect. Apparently, we're going to start getting some more mature titles. And they showed off the Star Wars.
Yeah, that's not going to be a mature title.
No, it's not. But
no.
No,
it looks interesting, but if you watch the video of the individual playing the game and then you watch the synced up video of the game itself, you're going to find that the individual moving has to wait a second.
And I made this right before we started the show. I made this same reference. It's like when you had a Dreamcast and you only had a 56K modem and you were playing Choo Choo Rocket Online. It looks like, okay, I push the button and then it happens.
Yes.
And that's not how I play my games.
No.
I need it to be real time.
You need to sync up mm-hmm. 1-to-1, yeah.
Which all the other games do, so yes. I don't understand.
I think that may have been just a beta copy of it, just so they can have it out.
They better fix that.
Oh, yeah, they're going to have to fix that.
Lightsaber on. I can't just make the sound. That would be better.
That would be cool.
Awesome.
do it, so there's that.
It goes down.
So there's a new Nintendo coming out. Next year, there's a new Nintendo coming out.
Which is very interesting with the controllers that they're
going to have. Well, first off, go ahead and say the name of it, because I'm still not going to say the name of the system.
It's Wii U.
And that's the letter
Wii U.
I can't not think of Kung Pao.
Exactly. I've heard quite a few references to Kung Pao, which I enjoy that movie. But
I love that movie.
So Nintendo is making an HD system. It has an mm-hmm. HDMI out, so there's no price on it. Most of the footage they showed was of games that they showed were games that ran on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 3. They had very little actual footage from the system playing at E3.
However, they did show
the controller,
the new controller that's going to go along with your chucks.
Yeah, and the remote too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what it's going to be is it looks like it looks like a PSP Move.
It looks like a Japanese karaoke if you ever go to Japan, not that I've been, but I've seen this because I love karaoke. If you go to Japan, you can pick up this little handheld thing that looks like this new Nintendo controller and scroll through and find your song and log in to put yourself on the list.
It looks like you got the D-pad on the left side, you got the four buttons on the right side, little thumb triggers, and it looks like a square box.
A 6.2-inch touchscreen.
Mm-hmm.
On your controller. It's basically a VMU from Dreamcast. Bigger.
Yes.
Now, they haven't said how much the controllers are going to cost.
Nothing has a price, but it's a 6.2-inch touchscreen.
That you're going to be able to move around and sync it up to the screen itself and use that to control what's happening in the Wii.
It's going to start out, my prediction, they haven't said how much it's going to cost,
right.
But my prediction is $99.99.
For the controller. We shall see. The of all the things they showed it do, the most impressive was at the very beginning of the video where dad walks in, son's playing New Super Mario Brothers. He goes, hey, it's time for me to watch baseball. Dad turns the channel to baseball. Kid continues to play his game on the controller with the touchscreen.
Yeah.
That blew my damn mind.
Right. Now, they don't show if you can then take it with you and go in the car somewhere.
No way you can do that.
But still, that was pretty cool.
Because you'd have to download the entire disc. And they're a new format of disc.
Of course.
Nintendo is not going to give you a DVD player in there. And you really don't want to use your gaming system as a DVD player because you use it twice as much and it burns out. Just ask my original Xbox. happened. So happened.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got a camera and a microphone built in.
What was really cool was how it interacted with the system. You know, like you put the golf ball down and you hit the golf ball.
Yes.
Or
yes,
like you fling the ninja stars off of it into the game. That was cool.
So here's your next question. If people were stupid enough to throw their remotes through their TV, how many people are going to drop their remotes onto their 6.2-inch touchscreen and break it and have to buy a new controller?
Nintendo hopes a lot.
Nintendo, I'm sure, does hope a lot. Keep buying them, kids. But
it looks very, very breakable.
Just like back in the days when we played football on a Dreamcast, now when we're playing football, we can call all of our plays down on our controller.
Exactly.
And your jackass friend is not going to see what you're picking.
Exactly. Oh, I know that play. He's going to go out to his wideout. Yep.
Which, if you play with me, you know, because I really run about four plays, but I'll still kick your ass. It's just how that works. So I went to some acting auditions. I went to an audition for a play that I've got a really good vibe about. And then on Saturday, I went to an audition for a movie.
A movie?
Now, the play would pay me if I got the gig. The movie wouldn't, but it's a movie.
It's a movie.
And that would be kind of cool. Now, that I had another good feeling about. They're going to do callbacks. There should be announcing callbacks in the next couple of days. So to go back and actually really audition for it away from all the people who just showed up who really can't act whatsoever. But I got to read a scene a couple times and got to read for a couple different characters. So we'll see
what
happens. So
what there. Is the general description of the movie?
It's going to be a character drama. It would be a character drama.
Okay.
You know,
maybe a rom-com?
No. It's okay. Not. There is a really funny line in it because you've got this guy who's a drug dealer, but he's a good drug dealer because he only does weed, not real drugs.
okay, go ahead.
That's how the guy described it to me. Okay. That's exactly how the director described it to me. Director/writer described it to me. But there's this wonderful thing where his girl's like, oh, hey, look, that was our buddies. They invited us for his cookout. And he's like, baby, you know that I'm going back out of town. You know, I got work to do. You know, and she's upset that he's always having to travel to go buy weed and sell weed, la, 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 la. And she's upset because, you know, she wants to talk to him. And, you know, if he's out on the road, how does she get to, you know, what if you don't call? And he's like, look, let me ask you a question, all right? Can you tell me, what's the number? How many times am I out on the road that I don't call you? Let me give you a hint. It's one of those effing binary numbers, and it's not one. That was a funny little line. I'm like, uh-huh. So there's some, you know, funny things in it, but it's more of a character relationship drama-ish sort of thing. And speaking of characters, I've just done a character for scifiaudio.com. They've got a little podcast. They do some little comedic stuff. And I'm playing a Ferengi game show host. So that'll be coming out.
That sounds interesting.
That'll be coming out sometime in the next week or so. It was a damn fun time. You should go check out scifiaudio.com because I listened to some of their episodes to get prepped, and they've got some funny stuff there, and I think you should check that out. And I don't know what else it is that we... Oh, South Park.
Yeah, that's what we missed.
We missed South Park. That's one of the things we missed. The last episode of South Park dealt with, you know, the concept of kids always being given butters. His parents are worried. Yes. And a doctor tells him he has multiple personalities because whenever he goes outside, he becomes different people. There's Inspector Butters.
Yeah. And Postman Butters.
Postman Butters. Because Butters actually starts an Asian turf war.
What?
Between Shitty Walk and Shitty Sushi.
Because a Japanese place opens next to the Chinese place.
Oh, my God.
And then, of course, you know, the people of South Park want to call that area Little Tokyo because no one knows the difference between Asian people and the various
type of Asian people.
That's just how that works.
Oh no, this is a stereotype.
Everyone's a little bit racist.
And that's just how that works. That was pretty funny. The next episode later this evening is going to be Redamned Ridiculous. Not going to tell you about it, but let's just say this. This is the episode in which you do have to admit yourself that your parents used to say that your music sucked. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Okay.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement, to your underground lair, it's GRD News.
Sure is. So.
We have a winner.
We have a winner.
We have a winner.
Yeah. Can we get a drum roll, please? Okay, this is for, sorry. Stop the drum roll.
Oh.
Take two. Okay, sorry. This is for...
Pre-jingle.
This is for the Ministry of Mayhem contest that we were running with T. Morris and Pip Ballantyne. And, you know, to coincide with the release of their Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences story, which is awesome, and you should check it out if you haven't already. And we'll have all the details in the forums and the shorts and all that kinds of things. But we do, for this contest, have a winner. And drum roll again. Oh. His entry was titled A Steam-Powered Dream. It was a poem by Don W. Slee.
Congratulations, Don!
Yay! Mr. Slee, you are the winner.
Because, you know, we had some outfit designs, we had some concepts for stories and stuff, but a poem, you know?
And it was just really good, really good.
Really, really well done, which...
Now, Don,
can you
if
read
it's,
that poem?
Oh, I was going to if my computer battery is still.
Well, it's not. So
alive.
Maybe next week we'll do that. We teased this last week. We announced the winner this week. Maybe next week we'll actually say what it was.
You'll have to stick
around.
Well,
we can check with him and make sure that it's okay for us to share it.
Yes.
And also, Don, you should send us your information so that we can pass it on to T and Pip and make sure that you get your prizes.
Otherwise, I'm just going to give them my address.
Yeah.
You have been warned. You, sir, have been warned. You ready yet, or can I push this button? Oh, you
Looks
are ready?
Like you've got mail waiting.
That mean, when I asked if you were ready, that meant to read the thing.
Yeah, so I was ready.
Oh, you ready?
Yeah.
Go for it.
You ready? Okay. Yeah. A steam powered dream.
Oh, you're going to ask him first if it's
nope,
okay?
I'm just going to do it. He sent it to us.
There you go.
You know,
it's ours now.
Okay.
We own it.
At night, my thoughts like gears and cogs turn. My mind never ceases and like a boiler burns. And so when I close my eyes for sleep, I dream. And then my computer just shut off.
So tune in next week for the continuation.
Damn battery!
All right. So we have some mail.
Damn it. Sorry, dude. It's really awesome, and I promise to read it next time, and you rock.
I'm a bit late to the party on this one, but I've got to step up to defend the homeland. What do you have against Australia? What?
We have nothing against Australia.
Did we badmouth Australia and I missed it?
I don't know.
Okay.
You got to give us a reference, man.
They could have filmed Smallville in Australia.
Oh, okay.
There's a huge variety of...
Do you remember what we said?
Yes.
What was it?
That there's no way in hell that Australia was going to look like Kansas. Because we're
talking
about Smallville.
I think that was a compliment for Australia, actually, though.
Compared to what they used, as opposed to the mountains of Kansas that are in the background of Smallville. Yeah, I think they could have filmed Smallville in Australia. There's a huge variety of climates. In case you didn't know, Superman Returns was filmed entirely in Australia, and they had some Smallville stuff there. So, you know, don't be hating. Cheers, Bronze Thumb.
Definitely not hating. I would love to go to Australia.
That'd be awesome. Someone hook us up, yeah. Dearest Flinchers, Billy Flynn and the Bruce, corn chips and potato chips are two vegetables, not that that makes them healthy. Actually, sir, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bruce, but potatoes are not vegetables. They're a starch.
Well, they're technically vegetables when it comes to how they're grown, but they're a starch when it comes to the food pyramid.
Yeah, yeah.
As is corn, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yes, corn is a starch as well.
Yeah, but they're both vegetables. Yeah.
Where do they fit on the food pyramid?
Under vegetables.
No.
Actually, we'll actually talk about the food pyramid later on today.
No, we won't.
Yes, dun,
we won't.
Dun, dun.
We're going to skip it.
Yeah, we are.
I'm surprised that teacher Flinstress, that would be you, has not read The Hunger Games sooner. I don't think the series would not have sold as young adult books if Gregor the Overlander had not been published first. I think The Hunger Games is a good series even for guys. How can you not like a young adult book with a higher body count than some of Sigler's books? Bruce, damn. It is really good.
Yeah, it's pretty gory.
It is really good in audio, and your local library should have the CDs. The ideas might not be original in the book, but they are put together well. I thought Bruce Campbell or Robert Downey Jr. should have played Haymitch in the movie.
Oh, yeah, that would have been good. Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. in particular.
Okay. Now that I don't watch much TV, should I embrace the canceling of shows as a time-saving way to know which shows are good? No, because a lot of times they cancel shows that are really good.
That are good. And
sometimes they cancel shows that are bad.
Yeah.
Not as often. Especially on Fox.
Just listen to us. We'll tell you what to watch.
AMC has one good show and they want to cut the production budget on it. No wonder they failed as an auto company. Okay, different AMC, but I think they might have had similar business plans. Until J.J. Abrams reimagines Star Wars Episode 1, make mine GRD, and that's from Corey. Thank you, Corey.
Well, they're going to be doing more episodes. They've got more shows coming out anyway. They got The Falling Skies coming out later on this month. That looks really, really good.
Could be.
Is Chicken Little in it?
Oh, I'm not going to ask.
Okay.
The sky is falling.
Okay.
Right. Well. Wow.
Hey.
And you have children.
You forgot a good
They're
one that was
teenagers.
Canceled.
What? Go ahead.
You forgot a good one that was canceled. New Amsterdam, an immortal detective. It reminded me a lot of Forever Night. Another good one, but it had more playtime.
Forever Night
had its moments.
Yeah.
Forever Night had its moments.
I'm not familiar with either
one. The vampire that comes out of the tanning booth screaming and going, ah! Because he wants to not look like he only comes out at night.
No. The real deal with Forever Night is you get a vampire who, much like Angel ripped off later, you know, for all the past sins, is now a cop and trying to make up for that. And then ripping off the TV show Highlander would invariably have flashbacks to something in his past that completely tied into what was going on in that week's episode.
Of course it does.
Of course.
Yeah.
However, it was worth
it
for
his... Why have the flashback if it doesn't tie in?
Totally worth it for his main overall villain that kept recurring, LaCroix? How did they say his name? The guy, like it was his sire?
I got a friend of mine...
C-R-O-I-X or
yes,
whatever, LaCroix.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there you go. Yeah, that guy.
I got a friend of mine named Buffy who's absolutely just... Well, Rebecca now.
Okay.
She's absolutely just screaming at the radio. Right? Just literally, it's this! She used to love that show. I remember her absolutely just loving that show. And I was like, why?
And my so-called
life...
Her
name is Buffy?
Well, her nickname was Buffy.
And his name is The Bruce.
Yeah.
Yeah. So And that's the dog walking.
Uh-huh. You have to look at that. So talk.
That's the only person. You know the one, blah, My So-Called Life. You know, that was a great show. And Claire is the reason it was canned. She didn't want to do another season. Stupid brat. That's from Ryan.
Oh, well, snap.
I remember another show that did that we didn't talk, you didn't talk about on the show. I actually put them on the forums. Space Above and Beyond. Do you remember
I do
one?
Remember Space Above and Beyond.
I
and even
love
for
that
whatever
show.
Reason, they continued to show Arlie Ermey in every promo they ever did.
Yeah, I know.
Which made me think of Defying Gravity, which is another one.
Yeah.
Oh, good God.
Really liked.
God, yeah.
How did I miss Defying Gravity?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, oh, maybe it's in the voicemail, but I thought someone else mentioned a show that I was like, how in God's name did I miss that? Because that's a helpful way of saying that we have voicemails.
Hey.
Let's check that out.
Greetings, GRD and listeners. It's Ryan.
Ryan!
I just got home from seeing Glee Live. They
oh,
did
jealous.
22 or 23 songs. I forget exactly how many. It was an awesome performance. Of course, I'm deaf from 12-year-olds screaming at the top of their lungs. And my seat was kind of on a cliff with only a glass wall between me and certain death. But it was absolutely awesome.
So you're at a hockey ring.
If it comes to anybody's town anytime soon and you like a Glee, beg, borrow, or steal to get a ticket and go see it. It's a great show. Keep up the good work with the show, guys. Hope to hear another one soon.
So knock over a 12-year-old girl as they're about to go into the auditorium. Hey, give me that ticket!
You have no idea how much I want to go to D.C. tomorrow night and do that very thing. Because it's at the Verizon Theater tomorrow,
uh-huh.
And I can't go. And I am quite devastated by that.
Oh, well, you can go and you can beat up a 12-year-old. I give you permission.
Also, a concert I don't get to go to on Friday either. Damn things. Moving on.
Hey, it's Rob.
Rob!
Missed you at Balticon. I was hoping to get one of those famous Billy hugs.
Anyway, keep dreaming.
Shows, I did miss you. I really did.
Oh, we missed you too.
Oh, and I didn't drive topless. So anyway, shows you might have missed. Roar, I think that was gone before its prime.
Heath Ledger.
And New Amsterdam, which, if I remember right, wasn't exactly what it wanted to be anyway. And Nowhere Man.
Nowhere Man.
So hopefully I haven't heard. So hopefully your job search is
We're
going
back
well, but it sounds like you're playing a lot of video games. So I'm going to guess no.
Oh.
So hopefully you're doing better with that. It does suck.
I'm rocking a video game.
Trust me. But anyway, so I'm glad you guys are okay and nothing major happened with you. Why you couldn't be at Baltimore? So until the roller derby queen that is married to Billy Flynn ends up coming via PA to another derby meet. Make mine GRD. Later, guys.
Hey, Rob. Yeah, not having a job does suck. It really does, and I know that you know that.
Yeah.
And I know that you know that. And
I too.
One day we'll do maybe a little short film about the whole Balticon thing. So move it. Nowhere Man on the UPN network, when the UPN network was still new.
Yeah.
When it was brand newish, Bruce Greenwood starred in the best version of The Prisoner that wasn't The Prisoner that had come out since The Prisoner. He's a photographer.
I am not a number.
He goes around like different war places and stuff, you know, one of those type of serious photojournalist takes a picture. He has this big, you know, art show thing. Everyone comes, sees stuff, blah, blah, blah. He goes out with his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hold that thought. He goes out with his wife to have dinner. They're enjoying themselves. He goes to the bathroom. He comes back out. His wife's gone. And, like, the guy who owns the restaurant, and people are sitting at his table, and the guy who owns the restaurant that he knows is like, what are you talking about? No, you haven't been here. Who are you? And leaves. And nobody now knows who the hell he is.
His life is wiped.
Completely wiped. His wife says she doesn't know who he is when he finally finds her. One of the pictures he's taken shows something that no one was supposed to see. And he doesn't know what that is. And he's got to figure out what that is and who it is that's jacked his life. And it only made it for 2 seasons. It's a fantastic show. I do happen to have a copy of it because you can't buy it on DVD. So, yes, I have copies of Nowhere Man. And I can't believe I forgot that because I did love, love, love that show. Good times.
I don't even remember it. So.
Good stuff, man. It's some good stuff because it's got that same paranoid vibe The Prisoner did where he really doesn't know who to trust. The ending of the very first episode, it's just fantastic because it really builds into that whole, oh my God, I don't know where I can go, what I can do, or who I can trust for anything. It's quite awesome. Quite awesome. And if you'd like to tell us about some awesomeness, please do. Drop a line to podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinchers, all at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, in a voicemail to
206-3-FUN-HECK.
Where to?
206-3-FUN-HECK.
One more time.
206.
Oh, per battery died.
You don't look good.
Don't,
no, you look better.
I can't compete with you physically.
Sure. You're not strong. You're silky boy.
Don't overlook my butt. I work out all the time, and reaping burns a lot of calories.
All right, it's GRD Fit Club. It's all geek without the weight.
Woo.
We need to have a moment of silence for the food pyramid. It is no more.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been around for about 20 years. May it rest in peace. Now that the USDA has decided that the food pyramid was apparently too complicated.
A food dodecahedron?
No.
Damn.
No. It's now My Plate.
What?
Yes, that's what it's called. It's called My Plate. You can actually go and find it at choosemyplate.gov. And the My Plate, oh, it gets worse.
Okay.
Is basically it shows a plate with a little dish on the side. The My Plate is cut up into four quadrants, although they're not the same size. Vegetables and grains are a little bit bigger than the fruits and the protein section.
Okay.
Okay. But it basically looks like it's in quarters, just a, you know, two sections just a little bit bigger. So half of what you're supposed to eat now is supposed to be fruits and vegetables. For what? They don't say. They don't say it. Yeah. They're not supposed to be, it's not a dinner, breakfast, lunch, or anything, nothing like that. It's just that's what you eat.
That's because Americans are too stupid for the food pyramid.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the little saucer thing on the side is dairy, i.e. drink it. Okay.
You can't drink ice cream unless you mix it with milk to make a shake.
I know this.
Okay.
I know this. But I really do not like this. For one, they've taken fats out completely. Okay, that's just going to confuse people. Because I'm not supposed to have any fat whatsoever. Oh, I'm confused. No. Okay, this is just going to confuse people. Because on the old food pyramid, fats were at the very top. Means you're supposed to have a little bit of them, but just good to have them. Now
I thought that meant it was the most important.
I, you know, if you saw me growing up, you thought the same thing. So it was. I really think this is going to die very, very quickly. And they will bring back the food pyramid, but it will be retro. It'll be a throwback, and it'll be made with real sugar.
Didn't they very recently though revamp the food pyramid?
Yeah, they did about 3 years ago,
yeah.
And it was supposed to be more specialized for each type of individual. You had more proteins or more carbohydrates or, you know, more grains or more fruits and vegetables or more dairy or whatever it happens to be, depending on, you know, what you had. You know, women that were over the age of, you know, 60 had to have more dairy in there because of the vitamin D and the calcium and just that sort of stuff. Now, cut and dry, here's everybody, and if your food that you eat on your plate does not match this, you're doing something wrong. Wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, government. That really cleared things up.
You're really clouding the energy in this room right now.
Okay. So thank you. Appreciate that. So yeah, if you've got questions about all this, because I know I do right now, come ask them over at the forums at geekradiodaily.com, where there's an entire Fit Club section right there. Right there.
Right there.
Just waiting for you.
Where?
Waiting at geekradiodaily.com. My battery's not going to die, so it's not going to... So, yeah, that's where we do all that fun stuff. So, in the meantime, just take a moment. Get ready to listen to about another fun contest that we have nothing to do with other than I think it's outstanding. And we'll be right back to discuss our main topic, some of us, for the second time.
The Knights of the Night want to send you to Gen Con Indy. We would love to fly you there, set you up in a 5-star hotel, and pay for every meal. But of course, we can't. But what we can do is give you 2 4-day passes to Gen Con Indy 2011. To enter this giveaway, just post a review on iTunes. Or, since we are just about to finish the Shitluck storyline, send us your comments, suggestions, or questions that we can use in the wrap-up show. Really, just about any feedback will do. And how do you get this stuff to us? Easy enough. Just visit our main site at kotnpodcast.com. Or visit our forums at rpgcrosstalk.webs.com. Or email us at feedback@kotnpodcast.com. Just about anything. Just talk to us. And hurry. You only have until the end of June.
Hey, this is Katie Sackhoff, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
No place to hide. No place to run. No place to run. The mutant age has now begun.
X-Men, X-Men, coming your way. Magneto's horns are on the way to pillage, burn, and plunder. But there's one
Welcome. This is Stan Lee of Marvel Comics warning you to look around you, your classmates, your friends. You never know which one of them may be a mutant, a person born with strange and wondrous powers. Now, some mutants, like the X-Men, use their special gifts for good. But then there are the terrorist mutants who plan to destroy the human race.
When the Brotherhood of Mutant Terrorists and I are through, humans will no longer have a place on planet Earth.
They're repoing it, baby.
Yeah.
Repoing it. That, of course, is from the 1987, finally released to home video 1989, failed Saturday morning X-Men cartoon pilot that was narrated by Stan Lee.
Wow.
It's not good. Pride of the X-Men, oddly enough, is the storyline that they went with there.
Hmm.
So yeah. And really, you've got to listen to it just to hear Emma Frost's voice, because she sounds kind of like the witch from the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yes, but can she act?
Uh-oh!
Well, we're going to get there, because the X-Men. You can't be a geek and not know the X-Men.
I mean, yes.
Just a passing knowledge of nothing else. You have to know the X-Men. They've been around since the 60s. Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, they come up with them. They are a group of mutants, you know, people with special powers. Now, we all know, of course, that originally it was designed to be sort of a commentary about racism,
yeah,
and whatnot, different people and liking them and whatever you want to do. Most of us as geeks, we've had, you know, X-Men being safest at the comic book shop at some point in time during our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our favorites. And of course, for me, I'm a Chris Claremont guy. John Byrne's run on the X-Men pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Got kind of weird in the 90s. But then again, what didn't get weird in the 90s?
Yeah, everything got weird in the 90s.
You had the Fantastic Fox cartoon series in the 90s.
Okay, yeah.
Come on. The one on Fox?
Yeah.
The one on Fox Saturday mornings? One of the few things Fox has done right, along with The Tick?
Okay.
That was good stuff, man.
We are the future, Charles, not them.
Damn right we are. And for a long, long, long time, I guess real quick we should throw out that there was an awful 8-bit Nintendo X-Men game.
There's a lot of X-Men
and
games.
And a fantastically great Sega Genesis X-Men game that rocked.
What about the coin-op one?
The coin-op was fun if you had a bunch of buddies, and now it's on Xbox Live, and I'm sure on PlayStation Network you can get the arcade game and play the whole thing through, and Sentinels, and of course they show up in all the Marvel Capcom games, because
they're the X-Men. Exactly.
And you know, we had just the craziest thing happen where in 2000 they finally, Marvel Comics sold the rights to Fox and finally brought us an X-Men movie. Now, if you're a child of the, if you remember the 90s, you know that Marvel couldn't make a good movie to save their ass.
Yeah.
The Punisher.
Yeah.
Captain America.
Thanks, Mr. President.
Fantastic Four. All pretty bad, although I got to give credit.
Roger Corman was better.
The Roger Corman version was better than either one of the big budget Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
But then something magical happened in like 98. The movie Blade came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there and watched it, and at the end of it, I went, oh my God, I just saw a good Marvel movie.
Yeah. Shocker.
What are the odds of that? And this was all, you know, right after, you know, DC's Batman and Robin and Steel. So DC movies were tanking. And all of a sudden, Marvel said, hey, let's do this movie. So, boom, out of nowhere, the X-Men got made into a slightly decent, it was a $75 million budget.
Yeah.
With a bunch of people you didn't know, some people you did know.
Yeah.
Telling a story that was, you know, heavily Wolverine-centric.
They were all Wolverine movies.
But, well, the first one does a very good job of making it Rogue and a Paquin. Wow. Rogue and Wolverine.
Well, Anna Paquin, back when she was just Rogue, was great. Now that she's, you know, she's Suki. You can't look at it the same way.
No, now you look at her and she's naked. So,
yeah.
So you've got things going like that. And that brought in, that really is what the X-Men movie, the first X-Men movie, all the comic book movies we have now, is a direct result of that, because that kind of took the world by storm. It, no pun intended. No,
yeah.
It made $157 million. So with a $75 million, ooh, there you go.
You double the budget, you're going to get a sequel.
So you saw the X-Men movie before you really knew much about comics. How did you like it?
Well, the kind of competitive dynamic between Wolverine and
Cyclops.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, and I was like, oh, I'm not sure.
I just remember Wolverine.
No, it was definitely a fun movie. You see them and their powers, and you see the school, and it was a good setup for things to come.
And it also gave us the fanboy dream we had had since Wizard cast it in one of their issues way, way, way back. We got Patrick Stewart as Professor X. Because who the hell else is going to play
him?
He's
Wizard
just playing awesome.
You remember who?
I remember the Wizard episode, the magazine going, you know, our fantasy, you know, lineup for the X-Men movie. Charles Xavier, Patrick Stewart.
And we're all like, yes,
of course.
Absolutely, it has to be him. Which is good because the movie could have been awful.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It really could because, you know, it's a superhero team. You've got a lot of characters and a kind of a heavy concept you're trying to introduce to the, mm-hmm. to the major people, yeah. you know, to the yeah. mass public. And Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen.
Yes.
The casting there.
Yes.
The whole reason that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Because every scene they have together, you totally believe.
Yes.
That they have this long history.
Right.
And there's this gravitas when they, oh my God, totally, totally worth it. And actually made a Magneto costume that didn't look silly. I was very proud of them. Very proud of them. Of course, they did take a little bit of liberties.
They had to.
Apparently, Cyclops and Jean Grey and everybody weren't the first.
Yeah, they weren't the first team.
And, the costumes were all black leather.
What would you prefer? Yellow spandex?
We kind of did. We kind of did. But, the black costume, the leather costume. Sure, I guess if that's what you have to do to make it work.
To make it cool.
Sure, because otherwise, if he gave each one of them individual costumes, you have to make them practical, and how much is that going to add to the budget?
Yeah.
How much? I have no idea. But that was a good story.
$23.
It was a fantastic story. We actually got a comic book story, because, mm-hmm. you know, Senator Kelly,
yes.
we didn't get Sentinels.
Yeah, no, we didn't get Sentinels. We never really got Sentinels.
No, not really.
Well, in about 20 seconds.
But we did get Senator Kelly in that story. Mm-hmm. And
of course, we got Mystique.
Walking, Rebecca remained Stamos.
Yes,
at the time, and we all had a lot of fun with that. We were like blown away, like oh. I mean, there's problems with the movie.
Yeah,
Halle Berry, I'm looking at you.
Yeah,
it's an awful wig.
It's an awful wig. It's an awful line. And
she's
you know
the only black actress that exists in the world. what are you talking about? Who else could possibly have played her?
Okay, now something that I am going to cite and reference from Screen Geeks is that a lot of people don't know is Joss Whedon is uncredited. He had a little bit to do with the script. And Joss Whedon actually wrote the line, "What happens when a toad gets struck by lightning?"
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes. And here is something that I have to say. I believe Ethan said this over at Screen Geeks. A better actress, a different read,
yeah.
and that line would work. More of a sarcastic mm-hmm. Willow type of,
yeah.
from Buffy saying it. The same thing that happens to everything else. Not trying to make it a badass line.
Yeah.
Right.
Because everyone in the audience, I'll never forget this, she goes, "What happens when a toad gets struck by lightning?" And we all just sort of leaned forward in our seats. Oh, God.
That movie, really? That line mm-hmm. sucked.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome.
But you're right. With different delivery, that could have been good.
And I'd never thought of that. But yeah, with a different delivery, that really could have been cool.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we didn't get that different delivery. We got that one.
Bryan Singer did the impossible. He gave us a superhero team movie that actually worked. Bryan Singer, for, you know, Usual Suspects, Apt Pupil, tons of really cool stuff. Brought Ian McKellen on board, and they rocked and they made this. Bryan Singer wrote part of the story. Now, you can look at X-Men as still as a thing for about racism, but you can also look at it as a gay rights thing because Bryan Singer, openly gay director.
Mm. Okay.
There's a little bit of that in there, which we get to a little more with X2, X-Men United.
Mm-hmm.
Holy God, that's how you make a sequel.
Yeah.
That's exactly how
I
want to
watch it again, like right now.
I know, basically.
The first one and the second one.
I'm even going to go ahead and say this. I would say greatest opening to a comic book movie ever. Because when you watch the opening of that movie, if you don't kick back and go, "Holy Jesus, God, I want more. I've got just adrenaline pumping through me." That was amazing. It was amazing. Thank you for bringing Nightcrawler in. X-Men 2, $110 million budget. It made $214 million.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. Cha-chunk. Easily. And in that, we delve more into, the people, the characters, because that's what I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, worked so well with the first two X-Men movies specifically, is that they were about characters. People, their problems, they just happened to have superpowers, but they dealt with some very real issues.
You know, people like you are the reason I was afraid to go to school as a child.
I mean, you know, they're talking about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, heavily present in the new movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's get to it.
We're going to get there.
Oh, I'm just saying.
We're working our way.
She's chomping at the bit here.
Calm down, because there's really cool stuff. Yes, there's Nightcrawler, and that's awesome. You get the peek at Colossus, and we're all like, oh, my God. Okay, we've got another movie to go. We get the Weapon X storyline. More Kitty Pryde.
Kitty Pryde was in the first three movies, and she was played by somebody else every single time.
And, you know, X2, and I said this at Screen Geek, so if you listen to that, I am repeating right now. X2, I think, is the best example of a comic book movie giving little shout-outs to fanboys, but not putting it in your face, making it awesome. Because Jubilee shows up.
Yes.
But if you don't know who she is, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't. No one, because like what you did with Thor, you're like, okay, what's the thing with Donald Blake? What's that?
Right.
Nobody looked at Jubilee in X2 who didn't know who she was and go, what? Who is that? Why is that?
Yeah.
But if you knew who she was, you're like, ha ha.
Yeah, it's Jubilee, yeah.
That's really cool. You had the fantastic line there, you know, when they're on the run and, you know, at Iceman's house where, you know, his parents go, you ever try not being a mutant?
Yeah, no.
You ever try not being gay? You know,
it's exactly.
Same
yeah,
same kind of thing. And we got Pyro, which was interesting.
Yeah.
And we had to team up with Magneto a little bit. And
yeah.
Stuff.
Well,
and
you knew that was going to go bad.
Rebecca Romijn Stamos was still Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
Yep.
At this particular
And the X-Men in general is such a gold mine. You're mentioning all of these different characters because you could basically have an infinite number of mutations. Whatever your imagination can come up with, you could have a mutant for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just kind of brilliant concept that could, you know, the well of that could potentially never run dry.
Well, who isn't a mutant in the Marvel Universe?
Really?
At one point, I don't know how they're looking at it now, but at one point, technically, because of the bite for radioactivity, technically Spider-Man's a mutant.
I actually thought he
changes the genes and stuff.
I think he actually gets qualified as an altered human.
Oh,
yeah, because it's not a natural mutation.
Yeah.
Well, how can a mutation be natural? Groovy as it is, how could it be? I see what I did there. That's funny. So we were all excited because, oh my God, we've got a superhero comic book franchise, superhero team franchise.
Yes.
And then Bryan Singer got the opportunity to do his dream project and direct a Superman movie.
Yep, and that left us.
Well, that left him going to Fox going, look, please, I want to do X-Men 3, I want to do this, but you got to understand.
I've always wanted to.
This is what I've always wanted to do. And I'm going to quote Dave directly from Screen Geeks right here, where Fox basically went, quote, F you, not only are we going to make another X-Men movie, we're going to have it out before your movie. And thus started an awful trend, and this is where I first started to notice this awful trend in Hollywood of let's get a release date, and then let's go make a movie.
Yeah, let's get a release date, and then go write a script.
Because they didn't have a script, they didn't have a director, and they brought in Brett Ratner, who...
Stunk up the
oh my God, not Money Talks? What's the one he did with Chris Tucker that's not Rush Hour?
It is Money Talks, right?
That's what I was asking.
Possibly.
Okay.
Look it up.
That's a funny movie. That's, mm-hmm. that's a good time. Rush Hour, good time. Rush Hour 2, I'll give you that one. Rush Hour 3,
yeah, that's much.
We're moving on. So they didn't want to wait for him at all. And then, you know, X-Men 3, The Last Stand comes out at $210 million it cost.
Yep.
And we thought at the very beginning, you know, oh my God, there's the scene with Warren Worthington as Angel, and
yeah.
it's kind of a heartbreaking thing.
Yes.
We get the Danger Room,
uh-huh.
which is an obvious fanboy moment of,
yes.
hey, Colossus, fastball special, oh my God, and there's a Sentinel head.
Yes.
And is then, that where we have the Juggernaut or no?
Yes.
Yes.
The internet.
I do love the Juggernaut.
The internet comes through and works its way into major Hollywood motion pictures in which, yes, I'm the Juggernaut bitch.
I know.
Got put into a major Hollywood production. Someone's like, hey, my kids watch this all the time. They love this. I think we should absolutely put that in there. Vinnie Jones, probably one of the worst. Wow. There was a way to do the Juggernaut.
Yeah, it would have been CGI.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because the Juggernaut is, what, 9.5 feet tall?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So they thought they had a hit on their hands because opening weekend was $122 million.
And then the second week happened.
Yes, because for a movie that cost $210 million, it made $234 million, which means it barely made its money back.
Mm-hmm. Which means it doesn't get a sequel. At least not
well,
that one.
Well, that wrapped up
it
the
was
trilogy.
No yeah.
It wrapped up the trilogy, they said.
Yes, yes.
And here was a problem because this was a movie that wanted to have fanboy moments. The Juggernaut, all the mutants that they showed for like half a second with no explanation whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
even though Ray Park got screwed over and only didn't get to come back and they had an awful CGI toad climbing a
yeah,
wall in
yeah,
one scene.
Yeah, okay.
You did have the... we should go ahead and get this out of the way. Bryan Singer left it on a note that we were all excited for because it looked like they were going to do the Dark Phoenix
yes.
saga.
Yes, yeah.
Which is like the X-Men storyline.
Yeah, it's the one, the biggest one that you know of.
And of course, we come back, and then all of a sudden, we kill off James Marsden because he dared go be in the Superman movie.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. We never saw his body. Maybe. Okay, you didn't read the Dark Phoenix saga. You don't really know about that. Could you, from X-Men 3, tell me what is the Dark Phoenix?
I have no idea.
Okay, I know what it is, but based on that movie, I couldn't tell you what it is.
Yeah, exactly. No, there's nothing.
Awful.
Yeah.
You got the wacky little scenes of a younger Charles and Eric going around.
Which is not younger at all.
No.
They put a little hair on them. No, not quite.
So before X-Men 3 came out, they were already talking about how they were going to expand this and give us X-Men Origins, give us a Wolverine movie, give us a Magneto movie.
Yeah.
The next X-Men 3 happened, and we're like, ooh, well, maybe not. But then they decided, know what? Well, why not?
Let's do Wolverine.
Everybody loves Wolverine.
2009, X-Men Origins Wolverine, another movie that looks much cheaper than its budget of $150 million. Got released to the public. 6 months before that, most of us watched it in that work print release that Fox Studios don't know how it got out to the public.
They can't see the air quotes. Just let you know.
They can hear it.
They can hear it?
They
okay.
can hear
All right.
it because, you know, it was just bad stuff. Bad stuff. Now, there's, again, a movie that started out looking like it was going to be halfway decent. The opening credits with the montage through history. Nice.
Yeah.
Even the first 20 minutes. I've said this before. You've heard me say this before. Up until he parts ways with his little A-team war buddies.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fun movie that I'm enjoying.
Yeah, there was Deadpool.
Deadpool actually acting like Deadpool. The CGI swords I could have done without, but Deadpool was being Deadpool, and as it should be. But yeah, it wasn't good. All of a sudden, someone came in and said, stop trying to make a good movie and just finish the damn thing. We've got a release date to meet.
Yeah.
Because again, we've got a release date to meet, and they keep doing this damn things. So why? Why did you make this? Oh yeah, to make a bunch of cash.
Yep. Why do you ask questions to which you already know the answers?
It's a very damned good question. X-Men Origins Wolverine made $179 million. Did a little more profitable than X-Men 3, but...
Not phenomenal.
So that basically killed the franchise. Thanks for that, by the way. Thanks for that. Oh, the Blob was in the movie. Ooh. Ooh.
You call me Blob?
Hey.
I said Bub.
Amnesia bullets.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Look, a young Cyclops.
No.
Okay. Look, a horribly CGI'd, youngified Charles Xavier who looks like a creepy child molester. Thanks. Thanks for that. And then we got word about X-Men First Class. Now, there's a comic book called X-Men First Class, and this movie has nothing to do with that. It has the same name.
Yeah.
Other than that, nothing to do with it. Now, here's the creepy thing about this. 1 year ago today, there was no script. There was no director.
Wow.
There were no stars. We had a release date. And again, we were thinking, oh my God.
Here we go again.
But then what happens? Bryan Singer gets brought back in. He's a producer, helps write the story. Matthew Vaughn, hot off of Kick-Ass, comes in. Okay.
Now, can write a good script.
Can write a good script. Works well. We can see he's done superhero stuff. And then we had...
The trailers originally weren't all that impressive.
When they first released the pictures of them, it looked awful. And at one point, I remember Matthew Vaughn and it was Bryan Singer was like, will you guys stop releasing this stuff? Because we're not approving this and you're releasing all this stuff and it looks bad. Because those first pictures didn't look good. This is one of those movies that I went from not interested at all to curious. I watched it on DVD till finally, you know what, by God, I want to see it.
Yeah.
And we've all seen it. What did you think?
It was awesome. I thought that they did the, you know, the 60s era stuff very, very well. You know, it wasn't overdone. It wasn't, it never went Austin Powers, like costumey and fake. It was just, you know, really well done in that regard.
They reminded you it was the 60s every once in a while.
Right.
Without throwing it in your face.
It didn't go, hey, baby. Yeah.
Well, groovy. You know, and even when he did say groovy, it was kind of funny because, you know, that's what he would have said as he was trying to pick up a girl at the pub.
And to once again go back to what made the first two movies work so well, this is a movie about characters. This is a character-driven story that happens to be about people with superheroes who occasionally have some kick-ass action sequences.
Yes, exactly.
And the heart of this movie? Charles and Eric.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it is, and that's exactly how it works. They make it a little kind of, at the first, I would say the first 35, 40 minutes of this movie, is a lot of 60s James Bond.
It really
kinda,
is.
It kind of has that feel to
me. I get that vibe to it.
If you see the closing credits, they could tell they were trying to make it look exactly like a 60s James
Bond
film.
It is a 60s kind of credits kind of thing there.
And it was very, very well done. It's a great story. It's a great story that just happens to have Superpower.
I think the casting on the kids was really good as well, especially young Magneto. You know, I thought just the range of emotion we were able to see from that kid.
Now, here it is now. Without Mike, I liked James McAvoy as Professor Xavier. I think he did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
But without Michael Fassbender as Magneto, this movie is not nearly as good as it was. Because he is the reason this movie works.
Awesome. He brings it home. He really does bring it home.
And tell me, would you or would you not watch an entire movie in which Michael Fassbender goes around hunting down Nazis? Because I would watch that. I'd probably watch it.
Well, you know I would.
Yeah. Well, the one scene where he's and you see it's just a very quick superpower scene where he throws the knife, brings it right back.
That was awesome. I went, whoa, in the theater.
That was exactly how it would happen without being flashy.
Right.
Yes.
Shoop, shoop.
It was all done in a natural way. Mm-hmm. And if you know your X-Men storylines and stuff, you know that this plays very fast and completely loose with the continuity. But they got there the same way.
Continuity.
With organic changes. And if you make a change organic, it can totally flip and work.
Yeah.
Not everything in the movie works.
Yeah.
There's some problems.
Mind you, I did have somebody come up to me at Fallout, drunk as can be, complaining that Magneto was never in the X-Men, and I was like, oh, okay, thanks, bye.
Yes, he was. Magneto, for a while, leading up to the storyline for Trial of Magneto, when Xavier's off with the off in space, and we don't want to talk about all of that.
Let's not talk about it.
Let's not talk about that. Magneto trained the X-Men there for a while, because he's been a good guy / villain on and off throughout his appearance.
Well, he's conflicted, and he has, you know, duality to him, and is a very rich, deep character.
Yeah, and so the X-Men team they get for this, talk about pulling out some obscure characters.
Yeah.
Darwin is in this movie.
I don't think I've ever
read in
Darwin.
Very, very little. Very, very little.
Yeah,
well, he didn't make it very far in the movie, so.
Yeah, how it's kind of funny the black guy dies first.
And it
Come on, let's go with that.
It wouldn't have been so damn funny if, I mean, I'm sorry, Kevin Bacon, I think, was really
awesome.
Good in this movie.
Kevin Bacon should always be a bad guy.
But
he's German. I mean, it was great.
Yes, it was. When he says, you know what happens next, enslavement, and then you do a close-up to the black guy.
I know, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you kill him off.
Yeah, that was messed up.
Wait a second. Azazel is in this movie, and I love they didn't beat us over the head with it.
They didn't give the name either.
They said Azazel.
Did they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I missed that.
He said Kevin Bacon said it to him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He asked Emma Frost, "Where's Azazel?"
And then
that's right.
And then at the end with Mystique, mm-hmm. when she transforms into
Azazel,
right? Mm-hmm. She says his name.
Mm-hmm. Azazel, stop. We're gonna give it. And I love that because if people saw X-Men 2, they're like, oh my God, why does this guy look so much like Nightcrawler? Well, I know. Maybe there'll be another movie. Maybe you'll get to know, but I know why he is.
Mm-hmm.
They left a little bit.
The CGI on that was just a tiny bit more sophisticated, you know.
Just a little bit. So my biggest problem with this movie is, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, I think most people know this, is January Jones as Emma Frost. And I don't have the problem that I have heard where she's not playing the the bitch version of Emma Frost. Because when Emma Frost was first in the comics, she wasn't this bitch version that she's become more famous for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's playing an earlier version of that. And it's not that she's awful in it so much as she brings nothing to it whatsoever. I don't even buy her as a sex symbol in this. I don't buy her as this seductress at all.
No, I don't see her as a
except for one time where she smiled. Most of the time she had the exact same expression on her face.
Blue Steel.
Yeah. Damon Lindelof from Lost tweeted, and this has become infamous now, that he wanted to congratulate January Jones for portraying Emma Frost's three mutant abilities, telepathy, turning into organic diamond, and sucking at acting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, there were some fun cameos. And this, definitely.
Great. So if you haven't seen it, you might want to take 2 minutes off because best use of the F-bomb in a PG-13 ever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Comes from Hugh Jackman. We assume reprising his role as Wolverine.
Yes. Surprise, maybe, because he's looked exactly like Wolverine.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and had a cigar.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, we get a moment with Mystique, who the actress in this almost pulls off a really good performance.
Yes.
You were a little conflicted.
I liked her in this one.
Yeah, I liked her.
It's what's her name from Winter's Bone.
Winter's Bone.
And she's also cast in The Hunger Games. She's Katniss in the Hunger Games. And I'm like, oh, I do not know that she's going to be able to pull off the depth of Katniss. She was okay as Mystique. She wasn't terrible.
If January Jones was not in this movie, mm-hmm. she would have been the weak link in this film. Because I understood her transformation, but I didn't understand her character in this film's transformation.
I would have rewritten the scene where mm-hmm. she kind of gets rejected by Beast. And I would have actually had them making out or something, right? You know, fooling around. And then she can't control it anymore and slips into the blue and he's repulsed by it. And that would have had a stronger, I think, visual reaction.
Because overall, she tells us why she changes, but I didn't
see
that change happen.
Yeah.
But all in all, I will say this for her. I think that her performance in this sets up the character the way Rebecca Romijn played her later in the other movie.
I think that's why they did it that way, because they wanted to keep somewhat the same continuity of why.
And her cameo was fantastic as well.
Yes. Because my wife didn't see it. She didn't see that.
Really?
She saw the transformation, didn't realize what had happened, because the
she
look.
She thought it was just an older, because they do look a lot alike.
They look a lot alike. And it was just like, I got it. Okay, cool.
So this was awesome. Ray Wise is in the movie for like 25 seconds as the Secretary of State. And I'm like, what? You're a much bigger actor. Why are you only in here for 20 seconds? I guess he just wanted to be in an X-Men movie. I don't know. I
mean, there might have been something that got cut.
See, and that's my other thing. There's a couple of places in this movie. I think there's a longer cut.
It's not winning cinematography awards, because there's this one scene where, you know, where Mystique goes to see Charles in the kitchen and she's not wearing any clothes and he's like, put some clothes on or whatever. Yeah. And that scene seemed really abrupt into the next scene.
I think when she leaves, there was either more dialogue between them then or Charles followed her and they continued their discussion, because that felt very choppy.
Little cut up there.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the other stuff works well, giving us background stuff, you know, seeing the Blackbird. The young Hank McCoy is tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How was his origin anywhere near, like, that whole thing happened? What happened in the movie, was that at all related to what happened in the comics?
It's very, very close.
Because Beast did try to invent an overall cure.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we got the cure storyline in X3, and I'm glad that they changed it up a little bit for this.
Actually, I kind of was hoping they would do that, but I understand why they didn't.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
Well, when the movie started, I was like, mutated. Hey, wait a minute, isn't he supposed to be blue? And then, you know, I was like, okay, they're probably going to get there.
See, at first, in the original comics, he was a human that could do all of that.
Yeah, and just a little, furry.
Iceman ran around in boots. Snowman boots. Yeah. When he was as Iceman. But yeah, he further mutated, which is kind of the thing. In fact, there's a what-if comic, what if Beast kept mutating and blah, blah, blah. That's why, you know, he's looked different in different things. In Astonishing X-Men, he looks more like a cat. Than he does a
he kind of has that cat
beast.
Look now with that one.
Exactly.
The cat face look.
Good stuff there. Another moment that just little things bug me, like when we got to see Cerebro. Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
That's really
Epcot
cool.
Epcot Center?
When we saw
Doppler
Epcot
radar.
Center, it's like, Cerebro, you know, I named it that because the Spanish... Shut up, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't tell me. If people don't know that Cerebro is Spanish for brain, they don't need to be told. Because I'm sorry.
I don't know. I think it was kind of organic.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Because you think that Professor X will repeat back to him, oh, because of this. No, they're both really smart guys. The two smartest guys in the movie had the dumbest exchange of lines.
I think that was for the other people that was in there with them.
They weren't listening.
It was for the audience.
They were looking around like, what is going on? What is all this? Which gave us that wonderful little scene. The angel they used in this is weird. I wonder somewhere. Banshee. They put Banshee in this movie. Banshee's one of the stupidest looking characters. It could have been the most ridiculous thing ever, and they managed to give him...
It made it look really good.
Although,
and if they made this a couple of years, you know, whatever, in a different universe,
Rupert Grint is somewhere crying that he did not get this role.
I know.
It's too soon.
I know that. I was like... That's Weasley.
Nope, no, it's not.
No, it's not. But if there had been another Weasley brother in the family, that whoever that actor is would have been cast as that.
He's not a Muggle. He's a mutant.
So you know, it's got some great lines. You know, there's jokes about the hair.
Which don't touch the.
In the comics,
hair.
For in case you don't know, in the comics, when Xavier's mutant power fully manifests itself, he lost his hair at that moment. So that's what happened. Not that, you know, he became a professor, and the stress just got to him. So the movie made $56 million opening weekend. They predicted it would make $69. So oddly enough, it's kind of a disappointing.
Yes.
Which is a damn shame.
Yeah, it is.
But if you're listening and you were on the fence as to whether or not to go see this, absolutely 100% go see it.
I'm telling you, this is the reason you go to the movies. This is a damn fun time.
This is a great movie. I liked at the end when they had Magneto. I actually liked the helmet on this one better than it was in the other X-Men film.
I love that it's the one from the 60s.
Yeah, and then it's not quite the one from the 60s yet until the end of the movie where he does paints it red and then puts that little horn thing.
Oh my God, don't you love that he comes in like this fabric? He comes in as a Mego figure? Because
with a little three-quarter cape and...
That's just too cool.
Yeah, but he still looked totally badass. You know,
he looked like the 60s version.
Now,
there
are a couple of things that are funny that I don't think are supposed to be funny. Sometimes the hand gestures for magnetic powers are silly. Sometimes Charles, you know, with the side of his head.
Yeah,
thing.
Really. Does he have to put the two fingers on the side of his head every time?
We want the audience to know that he's using his powers.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But I think it was a damn fine time, and meshing this with real history, you know, outstanding. So we can get Michael Ironsides in there to be another military guy. Even though he's billed in the credits, and I've mentioned this. This is weird. He's billed in the credits as M. Ironside, and I don't know why.
Really?
I'd like to know why. So, bottom line, I think, what is this? This is eight?
I went 8.5.
8.5? I was thinking eight and a half.
Yeah, I was thinking 8.5.
This is a damn fine time.
This is the best X-Men movie that's out there. I'm going to say that right now. It is.
And I still think I'm still going to get that next. Okay,
I saw X-Men and then X-Men 2 after it.
Really?
No, I mean this weekend.
Oh, okay.
This past weekend.
No. Thought you meant you didn't. I was like, I don't understand that.
Hell, I just see it. No, I saw them afterwards.
Waited.
Yeah. I got to see them in order. No, I saw them afterwards, and then I was like, oh, wow, this the X-Men movie was a hell of a lot better than these were.
We're about to sit down and watch the first one and X2.
My take on this is that we now have three X-Men movies. Because I own the first two movies, and I will own this one.
Yeah, oh, good.
No need to ever see the other two again. Mm-hmm. The other two, you notice how this movie kind of makes those not really count? Because stuff that's mentioned and happens
retcon.
In there, yeah, they sort of retcon that on out. And I'd really love to know, as we all know, that Bryan Singer was working on a Magneto script. Yeah. How much of his script is in here? Because
I want to know how much this script is going to be in the next one. Because they're going to do a sequel to this one.
Are they?
Well, that's what I've heard.
Well,
that's what I've
when
that's,
they thought they'd get
the
$69 million opening weekend.
We'll see what it does second weekend. But the way this is going, I see this. They're going to do a sequel to this, and I want to know how much the Magneto story will be in that second one. With that, little cameos that they have. Storm.
You
kind of think it's Storm.
Oh, yeah. Well, Storm, you see Cyclops, you see a bunch of other ones you do. Now, where do you go? Where? Because I think you do the next one in the 70s, and then you do one late 80s to 90s, and then by the time you've done that trilogy, you're ready to go back and watch the first movie and have it all fit together.
I think so. I think we're looking at early 70s, early to mid-70s. You start adding a few new X-Men into the...
Dazzler! The X-Men are definitely back. Definitely back. GRD is licensed in the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Please come by and check us out at the forums at geekradiodaily.com. Drop a note to podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flintsters, all at geekradiodaily.com. I would ask you to read the number, but it looks like you're not going to.
Nope.
So go back, because it's there. And
206-3 Fun Heck.
That's all you got, Flynn?
206-3 Fun Heck.
All right. I guess we'll see you next time. Later. See you next week.
Are mutants dangerous?
I'm gonna hit you with your own pill. Charlie got my head.
It's good enough. Let's go home.
Doesn't matter if you love men or X-M-E-N. Just put your claws up. Baby, you're born this way. Professor told me when I was young, I was born with superpowers. I slick my hair, put some spandex on, there ain't no yellow suits like ours. The government thinks that we're a threat, but they don't have the right to say. You can't shoot laser beams out of your head. They might have trouble getting laid. I'm a mutant, not gay. I think I made a mistake, but I'm an X-Man, baby. I was born this way. Hide yourself in our school. Iceman keeps it so cool. We are the X-Men, baby. We were born this way. In Blackbird, fly away. Though your mind just like Jean Grey. Baby, we were born this way. Havoc's gonna save the day with blast plasma ray. The X-Men, baby, we were born this way. No matter good, bad, or both, Team X or Team Magneto, we can be best friends except for that douchebag Pyro. We made a movie again, Wolverine Origins was a fluke, now First Class is an epic win. Raise up your claws like Wolverine, or let it out with a banshee scream. Red, blue steel, or hairy chest, skinny pores, or diamond breasts. If your super abilities killed your friends or families, just lay low with us today, cause baby, you're kinda stuck this way.